Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is the second hour of the two-hour wonderful segments that are geared to help you manage your health so you can take control and be the youngest age you want. That's right. The program is passionate because we're passionate about helping you so that you can live at the youngest or healthiest you want. This is, in fact, the segment that we're going to talk about the American Cancer Society's new recommendations. And what are those recommendations? Those are recommendations that say breast cancer screening should be done not starting at age 40 the way the American Cancer Society had and done a new mammogram every year coupled with a clinical breast exam, but what was reportedly recommended or what has been recommended in the new recommendation is that annual screening start at 45, but at 54 it go to every other year, and at 65 it stop. Why 65? There's some people, some women who would live to be 90. It's not that you should average everyone and say they're going to live till 83, and so we're not going to do breast exams past the time they would live. No, we've got to gear it towards how healthy the person is. So that average risk for breast cancer also has to take in average risk for other diseases or dying before the breast cancer would kick in, if you will. So most of us believe that, yeah, you can get a mammogram every year from age 45 on, not just from age 50, 45 to 54, and then a mammogram every 2 years, but a mammogram every year after age 45, continuing to at least 5 years before expected death. That is, if someone is 90 and you can't say they're going to die at 95 or whatever, you keep doing breast exams so that they aren't going to die of breast cancer. That is a mammogram probably every year. I think the every 2 year rule or in stopping at age 65, those are just a way of rationing care that isn't rational. It isn't based on your individual length of life going forward. So our own recommendation, ask your doc for a mammogram starting at age 45, but get one every year, mammogram and clinical breast exam every year until you say, I'm going to kick the bucket anyway, and make that decision in a rational way. What about the Mediterranean diet? Here's how to do it. Well, that fits with the other story that's the top news story of this week, which is the fats and carbs you don't need to fear, and the fats and carbs you do need to fear. So it's a story out of the Harvard group. Dr. Hu, H-U, was the lead author of this. But in fact, it's a story about the debate among what is correct. The mistake made in earlier dietary guidelines was an emphasis on low fat without emphasizing the quality of fat or the quality of carbohydrates, which created the impression that all fats are bad and all carbs are good. Well, wrong. Olive oil, like canola oil, avocado, and nut oils, and are largely monounsaturated or polyunsaturated. And while it has as many calories as meat or dairy fat, it does not raise serum cholesterol. It does not cause inflammation in your body or in your brain, and it doesn't cause fat clogging deposits caused by inflammation in your blood vessels. Importantly, we want you to have healthy, non-stripped carbohydrates, that is, slow to raise your blood sugar, not potatoes, because potatoes act more like sugar and refined carbohydrate. But you want to have, if you will, hard to digest carbohydrates, that is, carbohydrates that aren't stripped of their fiber, and that's the way to do it. So certain fats are good. Those are olive oil, canola oil, avocado, nut oils, and even the polyunsaturated vegetable oils. Certain fats are bad. Those are saturated fat and trans fat. Saturated fat comes from four-legged animals, two-legged animal skin, and palm and coconut oil. So those are the ones we know aren't good. Now, what about potatoes, which are the most popular vegetable? Well, they act like sugars and refined carbohydrates. That is, they're absorbed so fast that they raise your blood sugar, which causes a problem. If I was going to ask, people ask me, what's the one healthiest fat? It probably is olive oil, because we know of nothing and we do nothing that does bad, and we know of a whole bunch of things it does good. By the way, when we come back at the half hour, at the quarter, at the 16 or 17 point after the hour, when we come back from a break, it'll be Gary Ginsberg talking about the meat industry bracing for the World Health Organization's news on cancer risks in meat. Can a nematode, that is a worm, predict reproductive hazards in humans? Applying nail polish, increasing body levels of hormone disruptors sevenfold, which nail polishes? And what is your sunscreen doing on coral reefs? And is there a preferred type of sunscreen for the ocean? So that's Gary Ginsberg, my favorite segment on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, coming up next. But let's go and talk about the jolt from peanut butter, the newest way to get a caffeine fix. It started as a conversation about the perfect sandwich to combat a hangover. Peanut butter on jelly on thick slices of banana bread, the three friends decided, with crispy bacon layered in for crunch. Oh my God. So the jelly isn't good, raises your sugar too much. The banana bread probably is made with bad fats, and the crispy bacon definitely causes inflammation in your body. But if you lace the peanut butter with caffeine, it seemed to help. I should tell you that in a hangover, getting the sugar, it facilitates the absorption of the other things, so maybe it will be okay. Business is booming for this company. This is a tiny company that makes, if you will, caffeinated peanut butter. I'm not going to give you the name because I don't believe you should have caffeinated peanut butter. The best way of getting caffeine is in coffee or caffeinated water. Another story that's disturbing this week, and that I don't know what to tell you other than to talk to your kids about, is that most college students, it was eight colleges were surveyed, say it's easy to get prescription meds on campus. They don't do it for getting high. They're now doing it for lifestyle. That is, they use stimulants to try and help them improve grades. Turns out these don't work for the majority of kids. They get lower grades because they don't take them right. The other thing that was interesting is they got them free from their friends, Adderall or Ritalin as study aids. They aren't, except for if you have ADHD, they help. It was 3,900 students, 83% students said they misused drugs on campus and got the prescription drugs from friends. Amazing how many. So that's the story, and remember to tell your kids, one, if you've got the prescription because you got ADHD or ADD, you need it, and you need it consistently. And if you don't have the drugs, you probably shouldn't get them because they don't help you. Caffeine, yeah, it keeps you awake and helps your memory, and helps ensconce memory that you want. When we come back, again, Gary Ginsberg, we'll be talking about the story on new story on what the meat industry is doing about the WHO report that's about to come out. And we'll talk about the rodent that can, not the rodent, the nematode that can predict fertility rates. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest, from technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com. Who says you have to be young to feel young? You can experience that exuberant energy in many stages of your life, but sometimes you may need a little help. If you're not feeling that kind of energy, it may not have anything to do with your age, but instead the production of testosterone in your body. Michael's Naturopathic Programs has a formula for that. Michael's Testosterone Factors contains the essential nutrients that support the production of testosterone naturally. This comprehensive formula is a combination of vitamins, amino acids, and select herbs that are ideal for proper male hormone production. Feel young again by getting the support you need with Testosterone Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find it at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or go to michaelshealth.com and check out our full line of naturopathic formulations for all your health needs. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S health.com. Michael's Naturopathic Programs. Tried and truthful.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And Gary, there are a tremendous number of interesting stories this week that you've brought to our attention, but probably Oprah will be happy that you're going to talk about the WHO news on cancer and meat. So, Gary Ginsberg, this is my most favorite segment of the show because you teach me so much. It is Gary Ginsberg. And, Gary, how are you?
good, Mike, as long as I don't get sued like Oprah got sued over comments about the meat industry. But I am going to give WHO's preliminary opinion on the risks with eating red meat and processed meat products, which sounds like they're poised to release their report in November, saying that there are substantial carcinogenic risks from eating these kinds of products. So we know when you cook meat that you can generate not nitrosamines, but other kinds of byproducts just from the cooked protein that is carcinogenic and is a worry for colon cancer. So meat in itself has always had that. But when you add on top of it some of the processing that's done to preserve, adding nitrosamines, smoking, and curing the meat can lead to also carcinogenic byproducts. And so I think that's where WHO is going to come down the strongest, warning about the cancer potential of eating red meat. So now, what does that really mean for public health and for, you know, the average person on the street? And, you know, a good way to think about it is moderation. You know, it's just like the arsenic in the rice story. It doesn't mean you can never eat rice again. It doesn't mean you can never eat red meat again. But, you know, there's estrogenic phytoestrogens in soybeans. You know, does that mean you should never eat tofu? So food, because we're exposed to it day in and day out, because it's so much a part of who we are, that there's always going to be benefits from the nutrients and risks from some other things. And, you know, it's good to minimize the hazards and the risks when they're identifiable and moderate or ease off on those things that are being pointed to that are particularly risky. You know, we've heard in the past studies associating coffee with certain side effects. So, and some of those studies then get reversed when the epidemiology keeps moving forward. But this has been known for probably 20 years that there are carcinogens when you grill meat, when you on a barbecue, when you just cook meat at normal cooking temperatures, and the big risk and, you know, the concern, of course, is colon cancer.
Now, this was a study. This is a study by the World Health Organization.
Right.
It was taking an analysis, as I understand it, of the scientists who gathered at the World Health Organization meeting in France to look
right.
at the environmental risks of certain common things. And one of the things they looked at was any type of red or processed meat and any type of cancer. And what they found is, as you're saying, and it's going to be published on Monday, so they won't yeah. comment on it, but they did release a preliminary study. It's published in Lancet, which is a very good journal, is that some of these meats, such as smoked or cured meat in any kind, are harmful for you.
Right.
Especially in breast cancer risk. And is it colon cancer too?
And colon cancer, right. Yep. So, yeah, the breast cancer risk is because there's polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs, which are known to cause mammary cancer in rodent models. And we know that smoking cigarettes is an increased risk for breast cancer, probably because of the same chemicals. So it is, you know, possible. And we don't have cause and effect, but it's likely that cured eating smoked and cured and barbecued meats will increase a young woman's risk for breast cancer, you know, if you're eating a lot of it early in life. So again, this is a cautionary tale to eat maybe less of those things and diversify your diet in other directions to get good protein sources, good healthy protein sources.
And so red meat includes lamb, pork, and beef,
right.
but not, obviously, poultry. What is the beef industry doing about this?
Well, so far they've been saying that, you know, we've known about these studies. You know, these are not new studies that WHO is talking about. This is a literature that has been evolving for the last, as I say, 20 to 30 years. The meat industry is saying, hey, we've always known about these studies, and they've never really caused an uproar or a major public health concern, so why now? But, you know, this is the WHO's official scientific cancer body that sat down and just focused on their peer panel on this. And so it's, you know, it's pretty prestigious panel without any axes to grind saying that this is a health concern. So the meat industry isn't going to change what they're doing, I don't think, on this basis. I think that's going to be up to public health officials to educate people about the risks and how to, you know, keep the risks under control. Of course, screening for breast cancer, screening for colon cancer is important, but also making the right dietary choices, minimizing the amount of carcinogen in your diet, certainly by eating less red meat, eating less smoked and cured meats, is a way to do that.
Now, Gary, I haven't had red meat that I know about since 1997 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eat red meat?
No, I'm vegetarian, but, you know, there are a lot of people, especially women, who need iron, and it's not always easy to get iron in your diet. The iron supplements can be difficult to take, and so red meat is recommended by a lot of medical authorities to try to increase your intake of iron. So, you know, there are benefits.
Oh, man, you're hurting. You're hurting if that's a benefit. That there are many ways of getting iron. We'll go into that next week, in fact. Can a nematode predict reproductive hazards? What's a nematode, and what reproductive hazard are we talking about here, Gary?
Yeah, so toxicology is always trying to get more and more predictive. We have gone from a science that was basically survival by observing what kills you when you're out in the in prehistoric man, you know, what's good to eat and what's going to kill you. We've gone from that version of toxicology to doing studies in rats and mice and seeing what causes problems in them. Now to even more predictive in vitro or cell culture experiments where we're trying to understand what is a reproductive or a developmental hazard based upon earthworms. Nematodes are earthworms. Can we use worms in cells as one-cell organisms and watch the way they divide and grow into an entire earthworm right under the microscope under our very eyes? We could see the normal development. Will chemicals that perturb that normal development, are they also the same ones that are like thalidomide that cause birth defects in people? So that's what we're trying to do, is develop a better mousetrap, a better way to predict what's the next bad actor for birth defects down the pike. And so this new world of in vitro toxicology, predictive test systems, is turning to things like the earthworm test, which is just now being reported on in a major journal, as having about a 50% success rate. So not great. You know, it's better than nothing. It is predicting some of the known reproductive hazards, but not all of them. So I bring it up just to point out that we're trying to get more predictive in toxicology, and worms may be part of the future.
Can you hang on for the next two stories, Gary?
Sure.
We'll be right back with Dr. Gary Ginsberg, my favorite segment, whatstoxic.com, on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD. Stay well.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken, Frank's canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word, someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike, and we're talking with my favorite person of all, if you will, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, about what's toxic. And he told us about nematodes predicting reproductive hazard as they increase. If you will, something new from the Toxicology Association, something that is probably also new but is really coming more into the fore, is nail polish increasing hormone disruptor levels. Tell us about this story, Gary.
Okay, so this one really made my jaw drop, because there was a very careful study of women before they put the nail polish. They took blood levels before they took, put on this nail polish, and then after. And the levels of a particular endocrine disruptor that is known to be used in nail polish to help it stick to the nail went up 7 times. For something to go up that much in your blood from just putting something not on your skin, but on your nails, was pretty dramatic. and the chemical is triphenylphosphate. It's increasing in nail polish because they've removed something else from nail polish called dibutyl phthalate. So phthalates I've talked to you about before, and they're fairly well-known endocrine disruptors, and we as a society are trying to move away from phthalates and cosmetics. So the replacement is triphenylphosphate, and triphenylphosphate is just now becoming more heavily studied. The preliminary results on triphenylphosphate are that it wasn't too bad, and it actually has been, and it's actually a flame retardant chemical that could be used in furnishings to make them burn less easily. It's also now being used in nail polish, and some initial correlations between its blood levels and some endocrine effects in men especially. So I don't want to go too far into that because that's very speculative, but just the fact that by applying nail polish, you can increase the levels of triphenylphosphate sevenfold, tell me that it's relatively volatile. So it's probably not going through the nail or through the cuticle, but probably you're inhaling it. And remember, when you're doing your nails, your nose is not that far away. You've got an open container of it, and which builds up a head space. As soon as you open it, you get some dose. So I would say that it's always a good idea to have good ventilation. Do it in the bathroom with the fan on or next to an open window. It's not cold out. And get some ventilation going so you're not breathing in so much of the nail polish volatiles, I'll call them, while your nails are curing and while you're doing it. That's number one. Number two, really don't polish little kids' nails. I mean, they're going to be more vulnerable. If you could do some stick-on, or I'm not sure what they do for kids, cosmetics, but, adult nail polish is probably not a good idea for little kids, especially don't let them do it to themselves.
So Gary, let me get it straight, if you will.
Sure.
Did they test the people who work in what would you call nail salons?
No, they actually didn't. This was just a controlled experiment with women under, sort of like laboratory conditions to see how much gets into their system from applying the nail polish. One would suspect that the exposure in a nail salon would be much higher to the workers as well as pretty high to anyone sitting there because you've got an environment where this is happening to multiple customers. So unless the nail salon is really known for good ventilation, and from my experience, some of them do really focus on ventilation because you've got toluene, you've got other kinds of volatile chemicals in the nail salon that really need to be exhausted out of there. Some of them do have good exhaust and others do not. So if you're going to a salon, you really want to try to pick one where the air is really fresh and clean as much as possible. But it is an Mike. It is an occupational hazard. You're exposed to all these volatile chemicals in things like hair sprays, hair dyes, gels, and fragrances that are in all these products, as well as in nail polish.
And now the let's see what I did here. So the other story that we want to get to is what is sunscreen doing to coral reefs? So how do we find the right nail polish? I guess the answer is for any nail polish, all we should do is do it in as open an area as possible and really use powerful fans. I've even seen guys using nail polish recently.
Yeah, no, whoever, again, try to keep it away from young children, number one. Number two, if you're applying it, whether you're male or female, use it under good ventilation, and don't apply it every day, maybe once a week. If you can get by once every 2 weeks, great, the less the better. The other story I wanted to bring up is sunscreen, and I know this is one of those, should be a summertime kind of story, but I might forget by next year, and this is another one of these jaw droppers, that coral reefs, of course, are visited by many tourists, and you've got a lot of sunshine and warmth in these places, so all the tourists are putting on a lot of SP 40 or whatever, and one of the chemicals that is sort of on the watch list or the not-so-great list in sunscreen is oxybenzone. It is actually somewhat endocrine disruptive, and you're wearing it on your skin for hours. So for that reason, I've always recommended against oxybenzone-based sunscreens. Well, here's another reason, that researchers are now finding that it is bleaching coral reefs, doing damage, because once you go swimming, all that oxybenzone gets into the water and ends up getting, some of it at least, getting down into the coral reef and actually doing damage, making the coral reef system more fragile because of the chemical we're wearing on our skin that's trying to block the sun. There's other ways we can block the sun, of course, which is the mineral-based sunscreens, which I much more endorse than the oxybenzone-based. So it's an ingredient on a label for sunscreen, whether it's for children or adults, that you should probably be looking to minimize and find the mineral-based ones instead.
Now, do the mineral-based ones, for example, if I use zinc oxide, which I do use as a skin, as a micronized zinc oxide for my suntan lotion, sunblock lotion.
Right.
Does zinc get in the ocean, and is it in large enough quantities to do any damage?
Probably not. I mean, oxybenzone seems to be exquisitely, maybe the word potent that I'm looking for, in terms of affecting the ocean floor. Zinc is not known to do that. Zinc is known on land at higher amounts to be phytotoxic, toxic to plant life. But maybe the right study hasn't been done on zinc and titanium. But the oxybenzone connection is just now, we're just learning about it, and this looks like another reason to not use the oxybenzone-based sunblocks. But zinc and titanium are not known to do this. And they are fairly natural in the environment. And there is a lot of zinc and titanium in the environment and in things like seaweed and salt water. So it's probably not going to be a problem compared to this novel organic chemical called oxybenzone.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other great medical stories of the week. Gary Ginsberg, my favorite segment, What's Toxic, What's Not? Gary's website, whatstoxic.com. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. Thanks, Gary.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated, sick, and tired all the time? Then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly Deep Dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is. This is so great.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, M.D.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
You know, there's a wonderful article out this week on from David Katz on LinkedIn on hormone replacement therapy, and he's the only person other than Dr. Oz and I've seen who really came out and advocated for hormone replacement therapy as a benefit for specific women. We're much broader in our recommendation. You know, the WHO, I believe, did a very bad disservice to women by using a drug, Prempro, which was the least desirable of all the probably hormone therapies, hormone replacements, and not using baby aspirin as a routine to decrease 2 baby aspirin with every dose, with a half a glass of warm water before and afterwards. So since David's, I want to get to that today. I'm not going to. We will get to that next week. It's called Hormone Replacements Aha Moment. If you get it on LinkedIn or on the Huffington Post, David Katz, K-A-T-Z, writes, and I will read you some of that article, and then we'll discuss the actual data, because we wrote about it in 2008, and again this year with our reissue of the book, You, Staying Young, How Hormone Therapy for Women, and maybe for Men, may be a good thing at staying young. But I want to switch to another news story of the week, so I will do that as a feature next week in the first hour, and we'll carry over a little to the second hour. as well next week. But the other story that I want to talk about today is birth order stereotypes may not be true. This was a German group of researchers who looked at 10,457 Germans, but they also looked at 4,489 British and 5,240 Americans. And what they found? Yes, the oldest kids scored higher on intelligence tests slightly, but the rest of the birth data had nothing on the five measures of personality that are the stereotypes. In other words, the older being the bossy one, the younger being the spoiled one, etc. None of that proved true. Youngest kids aren't spoiled and don't use their charm. And older kids are overachieving, bossy types. No, there is a little bit of IQ difference. Maybe it's because the parents concentrate on their first newborn so well, but that's not a big deal from either a level of IQ or none of the other stereotypes prove true. Let's say where we've been. Let's review it, and then, but before I do, I promised the do-over tips, and I didn't get to one because of the book in the first hour. The book in the first hour, Many Voices, Many Faces, One Voice, is a book celebrating recovery. It's by Bud Mkhitaryan, Mkhitarian. But the key is Many Faces, One Voice, Secrets from the Anonymous People. It goes with that documentary that was a award-winning and brilliant documentary by Greg Williams, The Anonymous People, about the faces of recovery. This book goes through the stories. If you want stories to read, this is just very powerful stories. Let's do the first of the Real Age Tip of the Week. And that is enjoy walnuts. I don't know if, Ben, you know the music for the tip of the week, but if you don't worry about it. So the tip of the week, enjoy walnuts. A ton of studies indicating nuts can help you stay healthy inside and out, decreasing heart attacks, recurrence, decreasing appetite, if you eat them 30 minutes in advance, decreasing cancer joint pain, and increasing your fertility. And you don't have to worry about their fat content, especially with walnuts. They have healthful alpha or odd omega-3 fats or calorie count. Just stick with a small handful. My favorite, personally, are toasted walnuts. I pop them in a toaster oven. I do it right before this show every day, about an hour before, at 275 degrees for 9 minutes. Gives a nutty flavor, an entirely different flavor, and yet preserves great fat. Here's what one serving can do for you. Walnuts are rich in gamma tocopherol, and they are the only, that's a vitamin E component, but you don't get it in most multivitamins. So this is a great way of getting it. They're rich in gamma tocopherol, and they're the only nut with appreciable omega-3, and they have a lot, 2.5 grams of alpha-linoleic acid, ALA, per ounce. That's the healthful omega-3, which may promote heart, joint, and prostate health. Some animal studies indicate that eating walnuts may slow the growth of cancer cells. Others have found it can increase endurance and protect blood vessel walls from damage. Rule of thumb, don't go too nuts. 14 shelled walnut halves a day are just what you want. So that's the walnut and the tip of the week for walnuts. We're going to have another tip of the week when hopefully right at the end. I'm going to just summarize what we've done. Yeah, wellness foreplay segment, mammography. We think you should get it every year from 45 till 5 years before you think you're going to die from another process. So don't stop at 65. Don't go every other year at 54. Mediterranean diet saves your brain. How to do it? Go healthy fats and complex carbohydrates. What are the healthy fats? Olive oil, avocado, nut oils, canola oil. Generosity, not just in dollars, but in time, is a key measure of success in retirement. People are threefold as likely to say they were successful because they gave to others as they are from spending on themselves. very big study from the AgeWave group, and I will get to that next week too. Rifampicin decreased your rate of aging, that is, slowed your rate of aging, meaning you could live longer with a quality life. But don't use weight training too much. 2 hours of weight training stimulated mTOR, which counteracted the benefits of rifampicin. 'Tis the season for crockpots. I didn't go into this. Get a new one. Don't go with the 10-year-old one. Most of the old ones don't have the electrical cutoffs and don't have the safety factors from fires. And as they get older, they get frayed, especially those ones with cloth covers. A jolt from peanut butter, newest way to get your caffeine fix, is in fact getting it in peanut butter, but there are a lot of ways of getting jolts. I think you should get it with coffee or caffeinated water. Climb in, tune in, a renaissance for sensory deprivation tanks. Tanks where you have a lot of Epsom salts and saline, and you float in them in kind of like in a coffin. Don't do it. There isn't enough good data to say it's a benefit. Bud Mkhitaryan's book and my own feelings on this book about addiction and recovery. Great book. Many faces, one voice. It does help you save things. We're going to run out of time, so I'm just going to go over the next one quickly. Tip of the day, eat your veggies and watermelon. Better for artery function. We'll be right back next week on You, the Owner's Manual.